From Lake Itasca to Lake Pepin and the rest of the land of sky blue waters, we are Minnesota Score Radio, your sports ticket. Wally and Eric back for yet another week as we slice and dice the always busy, always cluttered, always topical Twin Cities sports scene and the weather heating up. And so are your Minnesota Twins, fresh off a sweep of the Baltimore Orioles, heading into a big four-game weekend series, pre-All-Star game series against Detroit, their nemesis.
Yeah, well, the Tigers might be their nemesis, but it's the Royals that they're chasing now. And you know, as much as the Twins have been winning, they still, you know, five and a half games behind. It's hard to make up ground. You know, it's not easy. The Royals have played well, and I anticipate you're going to see a lot of that down the stretch. They're going to have a tough time catching the Royals in general. The Royals don't go into those long losing streaks. They just don't. They'll lose two or three in a row, four out of six, something like that. But you don't see them losing six, seven in a row, and that's kind of what you need if you're going to make up ground.
Yeah, they're fueled by, obviously, outstanding pitching. Their bullpen is almost flawless, and they have a lot of quality position guys. They're going to be well-repped in the All-Star game. We know that because their fan base is passionate. Ned Yost has done a good job as their skipper, and they're motivated. Look, they went to the World Series last season, but they lost in seven games. So they saw that golden carrot being dangled right in front of their eyes, and then it was snatched away by Madison Bumgarner and the San Francisco Giants. And I think that's their motivation this year. Look, let's finish the deal. As far as the Twins go, you're right. They are chasing the Royals, but now let's make sure you stay ahead of Detroit, because I still think the Tigers are the sleeping giant, if you will, in the division.
Yep.
We've seen this before out of Detroit, these slow starts, not playing maybe up to their talent level, and then when you get to late July, August, they crank it up a few notches, and they either win the division or they get in as a wild card. So Detroit is a team you want to make sure you keep them in the rearview mirror.
Well, a little bit different story this year because Miggy is out for a while.
Only Miguel this weekend is Sano, right?
Yes, exactly. Miguel Sano. And, boy, has he looked good. And he is a large human being. I was in the clubhouse earlier this week. Man, he is a big guy, and he is ripped. He is really a big, strong. And that's not the kind of player the Twins have had around in their clubhouse very often over the last 15, 20 years. This is a true power-hitting big fella.
Yeah, they really haven't had the bodybuilder, physically sculpted type guys. I mean, you look at even a guy like David Ortiz when they had him. David Ortiz is more just he's beefy. He's not cut up. I mean, Harmon Killebrew, my goodness, nobody ever called him, Arnold Schwarzenegger. Their history of power hitters has not been the guy who looks like he's ready to go to Venice Beach. So maybe Miguel Sano is breaking the mold for the Twins. It's exciting for Twins fans. He's up. He's contributed. He's had a much faster start than Byron Buxton, whom they're going to get back here, relatively soon. And some of these young guys, I'm excited about the young talent the Twins have assembled. I mean,
yep.
Aaron Hicks, I was at the game Monday. That catch he made, that Willie Mays-esque grab over the shoulder, I was with my kid Peyton. I said, remember that catch. That's as good as you're going to see. I just thought it was phenomenal. He hit a home run in the game. And I think Aaron Hicks, I've said all along, don't give up on him. There's a lot of ability there, and he's starting to figure things out. I think he's a smart guy, but he had to become baseball smart. And there's a difference, as between street smarts and playing the game well. And, Torrey's had a huge influence on him. So they have, to me, a lot of good things going. Brian Dozier certainly is. I'm a big Brian Dozier fan.
I agree. It's hard not to like what Brian Dozier has done. The power numbers, it's great. You got a leadoff guy. They can hit home runs. Sure would be nice to be able to bat that guy two or three in the lineup, but you really don't have that option. There really isn't a prototype leadoff hitter that's able to get on base enough in that lineup yet. Maybe Hicks someday, maybe Buxton someday. I think that's what the hope is. But right now, Dozier has to be your leadoff guy. I'd love to see Dozier bat two.
Yeah.
I think ideally I'd like to see him bat two. And he's got the power numbers of a three, a four, maybe even a five, somewhere in there. I mean, 17 home runs coming into the weekend? I mean, he could end up He could end up hitting 30, 35 home runs.
Yeah, I believe his RBI count was 45 heading into the Tigers series, and he had like 64 runs scored. I mean, and that's what I look at. When I look at, you know, offensive stats, people tend to focus on home runs and average, and that's great. I look at run production. Are you generating runs? Are you able to score runs?
Yeah.
He's able to do both. He drives them in, he gets on base, he scores runs. To me, that's the ultimate package. I know his average is maybe a little lower than some people would like. He's in that 255 to 260 range, but he more than makes up for it with the quality hits. He had the walk-off winner on Monday night, and that was certainly a thrill.
He had another
for
one
him.
On Wednesday.
Yeah.
A big home run on Wednesday. I mean, it was it was a one-run game at the time. He hit a two-run home. I mean, he has done everything that they could possibly expect. Now, you're right. The batting average isn't where you'd like to see it, and that's probably what cost him in the All-Star voting. I don't think there's any question that if you're hitting around 260, that probably is going to cost you. But look, as you said, look across at the other numbers, how many runs scored, RBIs, and home runs. And he's been great. I mean, he's very media savvy, too, easy to deal with. You know that. And it's easy to like a guy like that. It's, you know, we gravitate towards Torrey because of that, although Torrey's a pretty good player, too. And I think Dozier is kind of cut from the same mold.
I agree. I mean, he's one of those down-to-earth Southern guys, Southern Mississippi. And we know that Brett Favre has tried to endorse him for the All-Star game because he's a Southern Mississippi guy, too. But I agree with you, and I remember being in Fort Myers when they signed him to the multi-year deal. I believe it was 5 years, $20 million, or 4 years, $20
million, something like
one that. Or the other. And I really, even at the time, it came up that maybe the Twins were getting a bargain and that Dozier could have played his hand a little more, but he wants to be here. I remember him saying that to me in spring training. I want to be here. I believe we're going to win. And at the time, you thought to yourself, okay, he's just saying that. You know, he has to believe they're going to win. But I think he really meant it. He's a sincere guy. We talked about it a few weeks ago. He's trying to learn Spanish so he can communicate better with the Spanish-speaking players on the Twins. I think that's huge. He's big with charity. He has a lot of Torrey's qualities. I don't think he's turned up the smoke machine yet in the clubhouse, but he's definitely a leader. I like Brian Dozier.
Does he have the dance moves that Torrey has?
I don't know.
You haven't seen it yet.
No, I haven't. They don't let us in for the dancing routine,
no,
do they?
No,
we
they
just
don't.
See the smoke clear.
Yeah, we're waiting for the smoke to clear as we go into the locker room afterwards.
Good thing the Minneapolis fire marshal hasn't gone in.
I think it's actually steam rather than smoke. So
it looks kind of like fog.
Well, yeah, it's like a, I don't know, you know, the little fog machines.
Yeah.
I saw it tucked under one of the benches.
That's
in
all
there.
Good.
Yeah,
it's a bold stroke of genius, isn't it?
Yeah. Here's some advice. Terry Ryan, I know I sound like Sid on this. Go sign Torrey now for next year. Give him two-year deal, second-year option. It could either be player or club, whatever. But get him back for next year. I know you have a plethora in the outfield. We understand that. We understand Rosario and Buxton coming up, and Hicks is playing better. And obviously you got Miguel Sano in the mix now, and you got a lot of outfielders. I get that, but sign him now because that influence has been huge. I think it's bigger than you can imagine. He makes everything else easier for all the other guys because he's out there to take a bullet for them.
There's no question. And Terry Ryan knows that. I mean, the economics may factor in, but they should throw all that out the window. They're not going to have to, you know, give Torrey Fort Knox to stick around.
No.
Just
give him what he
market
got this
value.
Year.
Yeah, exactly. Because for him, it really is more about off the field as much as on the field, in the room, all that stuff.
And he's done both.
Well, he has, and he's produced. I mean, outside of Dozier, he's their top power guy. There's just no question they need to bring him back. And to me, he may be 39, but he looks 29. He's not aging at a rapid pace like you see some athletes do. So, yeah, that if they let him go again, you know, if fool me once, shame on me, or you, fool me twice, shame on me, you know. So
exactly.
Let's hope they
don't make
that mistake again.
I don't want to get fooled again.
No. So I think there's a lot of good things around the Twins. I mean, we're heading toward the All-Star break. We're past the halfway point now. To me, they're legitimate.
No question.
I really believe they're going to be in the wild card chase. I don't think there's a dominant team in the American League. Kansas City, I think, is upper echelon. Houston continues to play very well.
Yeah,
I don't want to sell them short.
No, they're pretty good.
And the East, to me, you know, there's not a dominant team there. Now, somebody may get scorching hot in the second half. We've seen Oakland do it in the past.
Yep.
The LA Angels are capable. I think they have enough talent to do that.
I think the Yankees are capable, too. Obviously, they lead the Eastern Division, but I think that they're capable on going one of those runs.
I think the Tigers are capable.
Yeah, certainly. And the Yankees are a lot better than their record shows right now. I think that that's a pretty good baseball team.
Twins haven't seen them yet, so they're going to get a trip to New York City
in the
second half.
And
yeah, the Yanks will come to Minneapolis. So
yeah, no, looking forward to that. All right. Talked about that. And the other piece on the Twins I wanted to talk about was the rotation. Now, with Santana back in, May moves out to the bullpen. But I'll tell you what I really like is Tommy Malone. And he's a mixer out there. He's not exactly throwing smoke past these guys, but he hits his spots. He changes speeds. He is their only lefty. Hard to say anything negative about what Tommy Malone has been able to do, particularly since he got sent down early in the season and then came up after having a ridiculously good run at Rochester.
Well, he's produced, and you're right. He can barely break the proverbial pane of glass. I think that grizzly bear at the Minnesota Zoo has a harder fastball, that Rocky threw the other day that went through five panes. I don't think Tommy Malone's breaking five panes of glass,
no.
But it doesn't matter as long as you get guys out. I mean, Greg Maddux, to me, is one of the all-time great pitchers.
Right.
He was not a strikeout guy. He pitched with his brain. His ball moved, and I think Tommy Malone is doing some of that on a smaller level so far for the Twins. And again, you try to take something that some people would say, hey, that's a dilemma. You know, Irvin Santana comes back, what do you do? Well, Paul Molitor's trying to figure things out, so he's moved it around a little bit. Trevor May's in the bullpen.
Yep.
Give him work there. And Tommy Malone has stayed in the rotation. Santana, who pitches Friday night, but that debut he made on Sunday in Kansas City, you couldn't ask for much better. In fact, it was the bullpen that cost him. I mean, you go eight innings, give up only a couple. What do you have, three hits allowed?
Two, three hits.
Yeah, that's,
I think he struck out seven or eight, too, didn't he?
And what'd they get him? Yeah, eight. They got him, what, to eat up innings and put yourself in a position to win. He did exactly that.
Yep, and he only gave up two runs. Yeah, no, that's, like you said, that's like adding an all-star. That's like adding an all-star via the trade right at the all-star break. I mean, that's exactly what they've done. That's exactly what we talked about. They don't need to make any trades. They got their trade. They got Santana right at the All-Star break.
Yeah, isn't it weird? I mean, had he been with the team the whole season, we'd probably be screaming, hey, they need to make a deal. Well, the guy gets the PED suspension for 80, then comes back, and it's like you get this new guy. And really, he is new because he'd never pitched for the Twins before.
Correct.
So we've got a glimpse of him, and I think he's going to be a big factor in the second half. I don't think the Twins are going away. I think this team has resiliency and some moxie. And yeah, I know when you look at if you step back and look at the numbers and the stats and all the parts and pieces in the puzzle, you're like, what? Why? How? Doesn't matter. They find a way each night to go out, play hard, and a lot of times come away with a win.
So what's Gardy thinking right now?
It's a good question.
I just thinking about him the last few days. I mean, I think Paul Mahler's done a great job, and I think he's the right guy for this job at this time. Did Gardy have the pieces that Mahler had? Certainly he didn't have Torrey, didn't have Santana, we know that. Didn't have Sano. You know, I mean, there are some pieces here that he didn't have, but kind of wonder what he's thinking right now as he's looking in from the outside.
Well, it's probably bittersweet.
Yeah.
I mean, let's face it, you're a human being. You're going to step back, and I'm sure deep down he's happy for the team. I don't think Gardy's a bitter guy, but he probably says to himself, well, maybe I'd be doing the same thing.
Yeah.
I mean, that's the competitive fire in him.
Sure.
The second question I would ask is, but if Gardy's here, then Rick Anderson's probably here. And I'm not trying to bag on Rick Anderson, but this Neil Allen and Eddie Guardado, I think they brought a different, fresh approach to the pitching staff. So would that still be in play? I mean,
yeah.
It's all a bunch of hypotheticals, but I think you can throw it out there.
Yeah, well, those are all good questions. All right, we need to take a break. Coming up, we'll talk some more Twins. Rocky says he's got quite the lineup for us.
Yeah, Kyle Gibson going to stop on by. Wow, that's some good stuff.
Yeah, he's been really good,
former
too.
Former Missouri Tiger.
Former Missouri Tiger.
Yeah.
Went to Mizzou. Yeah, he was really good when he pitched on Tuesday night, I think. I thought he was very good again on Tuesday. He's had a pretty good run here over the last 3-4 weeks. He's becoming the pitcher they thought he was going to become, a la Dennis Green.
Very good. And Al Moss going to stop by?
We'll hear from Al Moss, right. And we're also going to hear from Jeff Madej. We'll talk some ponies. Canterbury Downs, or Canterbury Park, excuse me.
That's right. All that and more coming up. Minnesota Score Radio, your Twins ticket.
The Twin Cities home for Minnesota Score Radio is Sports Radio 105, The Ticket. Now back to Wally and Eric.
Welcome back, Minnesota Score Radio, joined now by Twin starter Kyle Gibson. Kyle, it's been a good run for you and for the team lately. Another good outing for you on Tuesday night. Talk about the ups and downs of the season thus far as we reach the halfway point.
Yeah, I mean, it's you know, we all know that it's a 162-game season, and you're going to have stretches where you're good and stretches where you're bad. And, you know, defense and offense has both been playing really well, and, you know, defense has been helping me out a lot from start to start. Turning big double plays and you know, being in the right spot seems like just about every time. So, you know, that's definitely allowed me to pitch better. And you know, when the offense gives you a bunch of runs like they did last time out, it makes you more comfortable on a mound, and you can go out there and execute a little bit better.
What's working for you now that maybe earlier in the season was not quite where you wanted it?
My slider's been a lot better. You know, my slider the last probably five or six starts is, I mean, that was the thing I was working on most in the bullpen, you know, basically that and fastball command and, you know, trying to get that slider back. It used to, you know, and I wouldn't say it's changed now, but, you know, it used to I could wake up and throw a slider for a strike where I wanted to. And I just had to work at it a little bit harder the last couple of weeks to get my release point back and try not to do too much with it. And once I was able to do that, it got a lot better. So, you know, having that slider both to righties and lefties has been a big pitch for me recently.
Big difference for you from, say, a year or two ago to where you are today physically? Or are there things that you think you've learned that have made you a better pitcher?
Yeah, I think I've just learned and matured a little bit, and you know, being more comfortable out there has a lot to do with it. You know, you get used to a lot of situations, and you know, you get used to being in front of you know, fans, and you get used to facing certain hitters, and that helps out a lot. And you know, not that I've been in every situation possible, because I haven't been, but I mean, you know, the more comfortable you are out there, the better you can execute, and you know, the less you're worried about things going on around you, and the more you're worried about you and the hitter.
A couple of big pieces added to this club, and I heard somebody say earlier in the week it's like adding an all-star through a trade, and I think folks have been making that point with Ervin Santana. Watching him, what can you say about this guy?
Yeah, I mean, everybody kind of knew in spring training he was going to be a guy that was going to help us a lot. And, you know, as soon as we signed him, everybody was pretty excited. And, you know, unfortunate things happened, obviously, but now he's back, and we're excited to have him back. And, you know, the way he pitched against Kansas City, man, he's going to help us a lot. And, you know, we knew that going into it that he was going to. And it's just great to have him back in the rotation and, you know, great to have a guy, you know, of that caliber leading the way.
And a fresh arm at this point in the season, is that a big deal? I mean, having not really thrown game situation every 5 days?
Yeah, I mean, I think, you know, you probably have to ask him how he normally feels at the end of this season, but, you know, I know for me, this break's going to be a good break, you know, after Sunday. And, you know, I think, you know, once the innings start piling up, you know, 3 or 4 days off can mean a lot. So, you know, I think, you know, he's going to be fresh for hopefully the whole second half. And, you know, we're looking forward to how well he's going to pitch and how much he's going to help us.
Miguel Sano walks into your clubhouse, and you know, there's like a partial eclipse. I mean, this guy is huge, and he has been huge at the plate thus far. Must be fun watching this guy.
You know, one thing that impresses a lot of us, I think, is not, you know, obviously he hits the ball hard basically every time he hits it, but some of the walks he's taken has been really impressive. And he's taken a lot of pitches that are really close, that are good off-speed pitches, and he's really put together a lot of professional at-bats. And you know, he had one today, you know, one yesterday in the big win. And man, he's up there and he knows what he's doing. And, you know, he's putting together, seems like, a good at-bat every time. So it's really impressive.
And he moves pretty good for a big guy, doesn't he?
Yeah, he does. He runs well. He, you know, used to be a shortstop, moved to the corner infield, and he moves pretty well and is a little sneaky fast, you might say.
All right, before I let you go, the All-Star break, you already talked about what would be a nice break for you. What are your thoughts about Doge and what he's done for this club?
I mean, you can look at all sides of the baseball and you know, offense, defense, I mean, leadership, he's been the guy for us. And, you know, defensively, he plays a really good second base, you know, turns a lot of double plays, you know, for myself especially, and gets to a lot of balls in the hole that, you know, maybe some guys don't. And, you know, he's a really smart base runner. I mean, he's just really an all-around player. And, you know, offensively, I think he's been, you know, a big key to our success. He sets the table quite a bit, gets on base a lot, but at the same time has the ability to put us up 1-0 right away. And, you know, having guys that are like that are pretty rare. And, you know, we're lucky to have a guy like that because he's been a big part of our success.
Right. Enjoy the All-Star break and continued success.
All right. Thank you very much. Appreciate it.
Kyle Gibson here at Minnesota Score Radio.
From the land of sky blue waters, you're listening to Minnesota Score Radio on Sports Radio 105 The Ticket.
And we're back, Minnesota Score Radio, your Twins ticket. They are playing the Detroit Tigers this weekend.
You gonna
four games, trendy Target Field before the All-Star break?
How many times are you going to be what's your total on this Target Field weekend?
If all goes well,
of the four, how many will you have end up
after Sunday? There's no baseball for a while.
That's what I'm getting at. That's what I'm getting at. I think the Saints are gone, too.
They are. They're on the road this weekend.
Yeah, on the road this weekend. And I think they're back in a week, though. I think they're back next weekend. I was there 4th of July. Went to the Saints 4th of July.
I was there, too. Well, wonderful job by the Saints.
Yeah, you were there that night.
Yeah.
That's right. I saw you across the way. Did you spot us up on our perch up there?
I did. You were by the picnic tables?
Yeah, on the far side.
We were on the other side with picnic tables.
I saw that.
That's what's cool about that ballpark.
I know. It is really nice. And, you know, you're up on that perch, too. Now, I know you went down lower into the lower-level seats later on, but you sit up there, and you probably, during the game, if you were looking around, I mean, there's fireworks going off
yes.
in all different directions we were watching. And then, of course, the Saints shot off fireworks right above us. It was a good time. Good time was had by all.
Boy, and the Saints are just off to a fabulous start.
Talk about scorching hot.
Yeah, I mean, yeah, firecracker hot, the St. Paul Saints. And, you know, it's funny. I mean, the other day, and I wrote a blog about this at GameDayGold.com, but, you know, it's been a pretty good summer so far for some of our major teams. The Lynx have the best record in the WNBA, back
yep.
in action Friday night against Chicago. I know you'll be following that one. Saints, best record in the American Association on top of the North Division. And the Twins clearly in the playoff hunt. At the halfway point, the soccer team, Minyu, they're starting the
fall season.
They started the other night in Carolina. They play Saturday night against Ottawa. Are we going to see you out there? Come on out. There's a chance I'll be there.
I'll be at Robbinsdale Whizbang oh, Days geez. This weekend.
We can't get you to a soccer match, can we?
No.
You're waiting for the MLS to come to town.
I might sneak into one of those.
Now, if I told you they fed you a free meal, would you show up?
I might show up
okay.
once. No, I'll be at the – we have our Whiz Bang Days Classic. I got 16 teams from all over the state coming in.
67th annual Whiz Bang Days, and I'm sure – what have you been a part of, 47 of them?
Oh, wow. Actually, I was just having this discussion with my wife, 40 of them now.
Wow. Well, I know it's right in your wheelhouse, so you're going to have a lot of fun. Hopefully the weather doesn't get off the chain here.
Yeah,
is it
I
supposed
know.
To heat up? That's what I'm hearing.
Yeah,
I don't know.
And then the late Saturday night, early Sunday morning storms.
Oh, weather fireworks.
Yeah, that could be an issue.
Never good with aluminum bats and lightning.
Well, hopefully we won't be playing at 3 in the morning. Hopefully we don't have extra innings carry us that long.
All right.
We'll be all right.
Yeah, it's the summer of festivals
yes.
around the Twin Cities Metro and, of course, the entire state of Minnesota.
Yep, anywhere you go. You'll run into
Yeah, we
one.
Had Father Hennepin Days a few weeks ago in Champlin, Tater Days in Brooklyn Park, your Whiz Bang Days. Maple Grove Days are going on this weekend, too.
Maple Grove Days.
Maple Grove's battling Robinsdale.
Well, they're going to lose.
How are you going to compete against Arbor Lakes and all the restaurants?
Well, yeah, you're right. We probably can't compete against that. We have history on our
side.
You
have a parade, right?
We do have a parade and fireworks. Does Maple Grove Days have fireworks? I'm sure they do. They got a lot of money.
Oh, yeah,
Maple Grove.
Wow, well, you got to see this park they're building up there.
Oh,
Central Park.
Oh,
ooh. Now, it's going to have an ice skating ribbon. Literally a trail where you can skate in the winter. They're going to Zamboni it. It's got refrigeration units, so the ice will always be good.
Wow.
You can take your wife, get your skates on, and parade around the ice skating ribbon and have a romantic night in Maple Grove and then go to one of those restaurants.
I'll have to watch. I don't ice skate very well.
Wow, even I ice skate.
I don't ice skate well,
but I can get up on skates.
Yeah, well, I kind of walk on my ankles when I'm on skates. It's not pretty. It's like you trying to shoot a free throw.
Wow. I'm better than DeAndre Jordan.
How do you like that?
And I'm more decisive.
I've been
working on my three ball.
I see LeBron's going back to Cleveland. That's official now.
Everything's intact for your team, isn't it?
K-Love,
yeah.
What, four years plus?
He jumped in with both feet. He's swimming in Lake Erie.
There we go.
He says, no Pacific Ocean for me. I'm a Lake Erie guy.
Very good.
Yeah.
I take back all those rotten things they said about you, Kevin.
Oh, that's good stuff. And, yeah, DeAndre Jordan. I mean, I thought Brett Favre was a waffle king. I mean, this guy's the new flip-flopper. Uh-huh. I can't wait for the Clippers to go to Dallas next season,
and
especially with Mark Cuban being part of it. I mean, what the Clippers did was amazing.
He may want to call in sick that day.
Yeah. He's going to be as popular in Texas as some guy who's anti-oil.
Yeah. He's going to be in popular Texas as LeBron was when he came back to Cleveland in a Miami uniform.
He will be a villain. And Cuban, I'm sure, is going to – he's going to be bitter about it. You know that. And boy, the Mavericks, they suffered. Chandler Parsons left. And I think they obviously didn't go after some other guys because they figured they had DeAndre Jordan.
Well, one thing we know, they won't have to boo when DeAndre Jordan's shooting free throws to get him to miss.
True.
He's going to miss anyway. Speaking of NBA, I went down to the Timberwolves scrimmage, their summer league team scrimmage, on Wednesday night. And I got there at about 7:20. It's supposed to be a 7:05 tip. 7:20, I walk in the building, still hadn't started, still introducing players. They had delayed the start of the game. Didn't start till just about 7:30 because the lines were so long to get into the building. I know I texted you, and I said, this is a packed house. And I'm not kidding. There were 50, the Timberwolves announced 15,200 people there for the scrimmage, which featured, of course, everybody came to see Cat, Karl-Anthony Towns, and Tyus Jones, along with Wiggins and LaVine and so on and so forth. But it was an enthusiastic, packed house.
Yeah, remarkable. There's no doubt folks are drinking that blue Timberwolves Kool-Aid. They believe this team's ready to, you know, break out of its rut and start winning some games. I mean, they're excited about Karl-Anthony Towns, Cat, as you call him, and obviously Tyus Jones, the local basketball icon, and the reigning rookie of the year, Andrew Wiggins, and Zach LaVine, and all of his athletic potential, and Shabazz Muhammad, and Ricky Rubio, maybe finally getting healthy and becoming what they hope he's going to be. And
hey, you'll like this. Shabazz and Nikolai Pekovic were both there in street clothes, as usual.
Wow. So it really doesn't matter what time of year it is, especially with Pekovic. My goodness.
It's unbelievable.
Yeah.
You know what? At any time soon will Tyus Jones be replacing Ricky Rubio in the starting lineup. Let me tell you. He's going to have a hard time defending in this league. He is small. You don't realize how small he is until you see him out there with the land of the Giants. And it is he's still a very, very good basketball player, and he'll have an impact, ball handling and smarts, and he's, you know, his shot. He does a lot of good things, but he is small, and that's going to work against him defensively.
Well, they'll have to figure out situations where he can thrive.
Yep.
You know, you don't want to put him in a spot where he's going to be embarrassed. Well, look, in any rookie in the NBA, you know, it's going to take a while to get your bearings down as it is. So it'll be a learning curve for him, no question. And hopefully he's going to continue to get better, put the work in. And
he will.
I know that he's got to be just geeked up about this.
Giddy.
I was at a Lynx practice last week, and his brother Trey was scrimmaging against the Lynx. So, I mean, basketball is in their DNA in that Jones family. And you know, let's give the Lynx a little love. Like I said, they're 8-2. Top record in the WNBA, and Maya Moore continues to do her thing. She's the reigning WNBA MVP, so they're off to a good start. And that was my first trip into the courts at Mayo Clinic Square. I know you've been over there.
No,
it's impressive.
Why did you go over there? Oh, for a practice.
Yes,
you were at a practice. Okay, I thought you were at a game. Yeah, it is nice over there. I think that there's some things that they can do beyond just having practice. I think that they are going to be able to use the Timberwolves and the Lynx are going to be able to use that facility for other events and that type of thing going forward. It's very nice, as you saw, the weight rooms and all the connected facilities and everything there. They've done a great job. It was a stroke of genius to put that thing right across the street from Target Center.
It's amazing what $25 million will get you.
Yeah.
And it's certainly going to help when you bring an athlete in, Lynx or Timberwolves, potential player, and say, look, this is where we practice. This is where we play. If you don't like the cold, it's connected by a skyway. If you don't care about the cold, then you can walk across the street. But either way, everything's close. You can live in downtown Minneapolis if you so desire. We've got, you know, all the great suburbs in this area, too. So it's certainly win-win. It's going to help. I think it's going to have a domino effect around the NBA. I know the Brooklyn Nets are already building one.
Yes, they are.
Theirs has a panoramic view of New York City, Brooklyn, and New Jersey. I know you love to look at New Jersey.
Yeah.
You're a big Newark guy.
They might want to pull the shades on that side of the building.
Well, don't tell that to Chris Christie.
Yeah. Well, maybe, how would he know? He's never in New Jersey. That's the rumor lately. He spends most of his time outside of the state.
That's true. Or either that or he's blockading a bridge into New York City.
Oh, wow. I wasn't going to go there. But I was impressed with what I saw from Carl Anthony Towns. Hard not to be. I think he scored like 24, 25 points. Zach LaVine put on a pretty good show. He put on an aerial circus on Wednesday night. I mean, some.
So great... did they win?
Yes, they won, okay. And they lost.
Okay. It's kind of like that Gopher maroon and gold spring game scrimmage.
But it was a great idea. It was a great marketing ploy. They let everybody in for free, so they had their 15,000 plus in the building. It was packed. They did a 1-hour autograph session afterwards. All the players were down there signing. It was like a Harlem Globetrotters game where they just stood there and signed for an hour. They literally put 60 minutes on the clock, and the players were there for an hour signing autographs afterwards. So it was really a great community gesture. I tip my hat to the Wolves. I think that they have really done a very good job at putting this team in a position now to succeed, both on and off the court. In a little bit here, we're going to hear from Al Moss. But before we go to break, Rocky says he's got Jeff Madey lined up. We'll talk some Canterbury Park with Jeff Madey.
And they're off.
We are joined now by Jeff Madey from Canterbury Park. A big weekend of activity planned at Canterbury this weekend with horse racing. And before we get to this weekend, Jeff, I understand you guys had a huge weekend last weekend for the 4th. What was going on out there? You draw 20,000 people out to the park.
Well, 4th of July is always a big weekend for us. On the 4th itself, we have free hot dogs, we have wiener dog races, things that just drive people crazy, and they come out. But the night before, July 3rd, we do fireworks. We kind of get a jump on everyone else that does the traditional July 4th fireworks, and it was a beautiful night. We had 20,000 people, an 11-race card, followed by this fireworks that go off right over your head. They were right behind our tote board, right over the top of the grandstand, and it just brings people out, and it was really a fabulous way to spend the Independence Day weekend at Canterbury.
All right, tell me about this weekend. I know you got a couple of big stakes races going on. And fill me in on the Mystic Lake Mile and the Lady Canterbury.
Well, these are two very important races to Canterbury, and the Lady Canterbury dates back to actually all the way back to 1986. At what was then Canterbury Downs, which had opened in 85, and 86 they started using the turf course, and the Lady Canterbury was the first ever race run on the turf course at Canterbury. So there's a lot of history with this race. At one point it was graded. There's been some big names that have won the race, like Chris McCarron, who's a Hall of Fame jockey back in the old days. So there's a lot of history with the Lady Canterbury. It's attracted a pretty nice field with some horses from all over the country. And that's kind of what we're trying to do, is put out enough purse money to attract horses from trainers like Bill Mott, who's a Breeders' Cup winning trainer and a guy that's in the Hall of Fame as well. Guys like that want to come up here and race in our races. So the Lady Canterbury, a lot of history, and you know, I think we're going to be able to run this race on the grass. The last couple of years, it's been rained off. In fact, the Mystic Lake Mile, which is in its third running, is a mile on the turf. We've never been able to run it on the turf. For whatever reason, that weekend has always been rainy, and when it gets rainy, in order to preserve that turf course and not tear it up, we have to transfer the race to the dirt. So I'm hoping the weather cooperates and the Mystic Lake Mile this weekend runs on the turf or on the turf course. But we've got another nice lineup here too with some horses. Actually, the horses that won the first two runnings of the Mystic Lake Mile are meeting up in this year's edition. Mr. Mardi Gras won it 2 years ago, and AZ Ridge won it last year. So we'll get to see them go head-to-head on the turf course in a field of 11. So it's a race that's attracting a lot of attention, and I think will continue to grow. It's a matter of where we put it and how many horses we can attract. But the horsemen nationally know about these races now.
And you mentioned a little bit earlier, and I'll let you elaborate on it a little bit here. Next weekend, you've got your kind of exotic races going on with the zebras and the camels. For those who are not familiar, fill us in on that.
Well, I'll have to admit this, Wally. I was wrong about the zebras and the camels. We started it a number of years ago, and I thought, well, this is nuts. How is this going to work? And we had that first year, I think we had 17,000 people come out and watch the exotic animals race. So I thought the second year, well, this can't work again. And we had more. We had like 19,000 the next year, and they continue to come out. So we continue to put on this show, and it's really cool. We have between our horse races, we have a race with camels, and then we also have a race with zebras, and the fans just pack the apron and watch this, and it is pretty neat. And another thing we have going that day, and I don't think anyone else in the country does it, we race simultaneously on the turf and the dirt. So we'll have 10 to 12 horses on the dirt and 10 to 12 horses on the turf in one big betting affair. So there'll be like 20, 24 betting interests. It's probably, it'll be the biggest race in North America since the Kentucky Derby, which is kind of neat. And I don't think any other racetrack in the country has tried it. We did it last year and it was super cool. So there's a lot of reasons to come out to the racetrack on the 18th.
All right. Well, looking forward to a couple of big weekends at Canterbury. And folks, if they want more information, give me the website again.
Pretty simple. CanterburyPark.com.
CanterburyPark.com. Jeff Madej from Canterbury Park, appreciate your time.
Thank you, Wally. Always good.
All right. That's Jeff Madej from Canterbury Park. Eric and I will continue here on Minnesota Score Radio right after this timeout.
Back to Minnesota Score Radio with Wally Langfellow and Eric Nelson on Sports Radio 105 The Ticket.
Welcome back, Minnesota Score Radio, your sports ticket, and we are joined now by Al Moss for our weekly Leech Lake Fishing Report up on Leech Lake. Al, the Hall of Fame fisherman. Al, the heat of summer is here. I know we're, you know, mid to upper 80s, close to 90 all weekend long in the Twin Cities. How are things in the Walker area up on Leech Lake?
Well, it's the same thing, Wally. We have people everywhere. I mean, the people on vacation are having a good time. But we can't say that fishing has been tremendous by any means in regard to basically every species. It's really dropped off. We got through the massive mayfly hatch, and since then the water temp has gone up pretty high. So in regard to walleyes, let's take that one first. We have a big Cabela's, or the AIM tournament this weekend. The professional fishermen will be coming in. It'll be interesting to see what they get. They're fishing for big fish. The people I've talked to have had to go deep, Wally.
I bet.
And that's where they're finding the bigger fish. And by deep, I mean 26 feet plus.
Wow.
They are finding some fish. I've been out into the rocks. I've been to the weeds. You'll catch an occasional fish. You better fish with leeches and crawlers if you're going to try to get fish to keep. But these guys are going to be looking for great big fish. So what they're going to do, Wally, is go to these deep reefs, and they'll be fishing redtails, creek chubs, shiners, stuff, as well as their regular routine, very slow presentations. So that's the way the walleye is going to go. As far as where on the lake, I've been all over it. The middle rock structure holds some fish, but we're seeing a lot more now in the Walker Bay area, Capicona Bay area, where the deep water, where we go into 70, 80, 90 feet here in the bay. Those humps are starting to produce. So it's a different game right now from a walleye standpoint.
Yeah, things sure have changed. Okay, let's take a quick break. When we come back, I want to talk about the pike because I know they have been active, and I know you said that the muskie, you're able to get some big ones in earlier this week. We're talking to Al Moss, Hall of Fame fisherman up on Leech Lake. Back with more from Al right after this timeout.
Attention fishermen, Sugar Point Resort is fishing central on legendary Leech Lake. Sugar Point has a large protected harbor offering full gas and bait services with a wide choice of rental boat and motor combinations or a slip for your own boat. Sugar Point is also a great place for your family vacation with one, two, or three bedroom fully furnished modern cabins with beautiful lake views. And they also have complete campground facilities at Sugar Point. Sugar Point is a great place for kids with two playground areas, paddle boats, basketball, volleyball, and an enclosed heated pool. So what are you waiting for? This summer, make it a trip to remember at Sugar Point Resort on Leech Lake. Visit them online at sugarpoint.com.
For a memorable experience this year with some of the best fishing you'll find anywhere, make plans for Agency Bay Lodge on beautiful Leech Lake. Agency Bay Lodge is uniquely located on a peninsula that juts out in the center of Leech Lake, where you'll have easy, quick access to the best fishing spots on the lake. The staff at Agency Bay Lodge will help you locate where the fish are biting. Their full-service dock offers fueling, bait, and modern, fully equipped boat rentals. Come and stay in their comfortable lakeside log cabins, or if you're not fishing, stop and enjoy a pizza, sandwich, or a beverage at their lakefront bar. For the best fishing and a great vacation, remember Agency Bay Lodge on Leech Lake. For more information, visit them at www.agencybaylodge.com.
And we continue along with Al Moss and our Leech Lake fishing report. Okay, Al, the pike, northern pike, have been pretty consistent all year long. Has the weather affected that bite?
Not a bit. The pike bite is just unbelievable, Wally, and I think that's probably statewide. We've been fishing muskies through the week. Sometimes we'll have three pike on at a time, and we, you know, the quality of the pike, we don't have the large fish, but we're getting them up to 4 pounds. A lot of that 3-4 pound category in which the state is very concerned about, because we're going to probably see, you know, increased limits to try to get them to get cut down a little bit so that the perch numbers can be built up. But pike-wise, yeah, if you want big pike, you've got to go deeper. But we've been catching pike all week. Same thing with the muskies. Well, I mentioned that. I got a 48-incher the other day. We've seen 5 fish. Some of them were even up to about probably 55 inches. And all those fish seem to be coming on these irregular twitch-type baits, like reef hogs, suiks, jerk baits that go back and forth. We've tried bucktails, a little bit on topwater, but the majority of them want that erratic action. But I can tell you that in the next couple of weeks, we're going to see a lot of muskie action taking place because it's just starting. But from the standpoint of pike, yeah, there's no problem. Bass, you can catch bass. If you go to the little lakes with bass, you can catch all you want. Panfish, I have not paid much attention this week. I don't think anybody's really out there for it. We have a lot of vacationing people who don't care about fishing right now. So that's kind of the program, Wally. Next week, we'll give you an update on the tournament set up, and I'll bet you we have some big muskies to probably record to you.
All right. Sounds good. Al, thanks again. We'll talk to you next week.
You bet, Wally.
All right. That's Al Moss, our Hall of Fame fisherman up on Leech Lake. Eric and I will be back to wrap things up on this week's show right after this timeout.
The Twin Cities home for Minnesota Score Radio is Sports Radio 105 The Ticket. Now back to Wally and Eric.
And we're back wrapping it up. Yet another week has flown by. That's right. We're having so much fun. It always goes by so quickly. Minnesota Score Radio, your sports ticket, and the Minnesota soccer scene continues to be in flux. I know you followed the opener last week, Minnesota United, the fall season at Carolina. I'm sure you were riveted on the action. But
explain that to me, will you please? Fall yeah. season starting a week and a half after summer officially started?
They have, you know, soccer is a long season. I mean, they start pretty early and they go pretty late, spring and fall, and that's the North American Soccer League for you. So I don't know if we're going to get the MLS. St. Paul's making a pitch.
I see that Mayor Coleman wants it.
He does. I think they want it in, like, the Midway section by the old Sears building.
Oh, they do. Okay.
I believe that's their location of choice.
I thought that I – well, maybe I was wrong. I thought that I had heard something closer to Lower Town to take advantage of what they've already built on. But I don't know if there's any room over there.
You know, I'm not 100% sure,
no,
but they
you might
do
be right.
want it.
You might be right. It might be around the old Sears building over there. Huh. Well, that'd be interesting.
Yeah. Yeah, and I know Brooklyn Park does officially, on the record, want it as well. And they have a presentation or a pitch they're going to make to somebody in the MLS to try to get it to the burbs. So I guess it's great to be wanted if you're the MLS. The question is, does the MLS want to be in either St. Paul or the burbs? Because their ideal site, at least initially, they were sold on downtown Minneapolis.
Yeah, well, good luck to Brooklyn Park. You got about your councilman there has about as much chance of getting it as the that
wow.
city councilman up in Proctor that wants to bring an NFL team to Duluth.
Wow, I think they have a chance. I think they have as much of a chance as St. Paul.
Do you really?
But, well, I only say that because, you know, is St. Paul serious?
I don't know.
And do they want to be in St. Paul? I would just say this. Just look at all your options. And then if that's not what you want, I mean, most of these MLS teams, a lot of them are downtown. I know that's what they like. They feel like that's more toward the urban core. But Brooklyn Park is rather unique when it comes to the demographics, and I think it fits some of their demographics.
Well,
we'll see.
Yeah, I guess.
Probably end up in Minneapolis.
Well, I was going to say, they're probably using these yes. two as pawns in yeah. the mighty scheme.
That's
of
how Minneapolis does it. They bigfoot these other cities.
Yeah.
They did it to Arden Hills.
Yeah, I was going to say, looked like you were going to get it out of the Viking Stadium out in Arden Hills until Minneapolis came in swooped in at the last
yeah.
minute and regained the Viking Stadium that you didn't get, the one that you wanted but didn't get.
No, I didn't get my wishes on
no.
any of that stuff. And that glass house is going up quick.
Oh, boy. That is
has shape and texture. And
oh, yeah. It's a monstrosity. That thing is just.
It's a skyscraper.
Oh, jeez.
I saw workers on the top of the roof the other day as
oh,
I drove by.
Boy.
I'm like, wow. Yeah. I hope they have about, you know, 500 different kinds of ropes keeping them up there
yeah.
because that has to be scary. Yeah. And a
parachute,
exactly. And a jet to get you off the roof to go home at night.
How about the guy that's got to change the light bulb on the top of the Gateway Arch? I always thought about that when we lived in St. Louis when I was a kid. They'd show that every year. They got to change the light bulb once a year. And some guy's got to go up on top of the Gateway Arch.
No,
and
thank you.
The
I remember the last time I was in the Gateway Arch, they show the photos of it as it's being built.
Yes.
And you see the workers walking outside, you know, as they're trying to join the two, you know, to make the curvature.
Yes.
Yeah, the curvature. And I'm like, there's just absolutely no way I'd do that. You could pay me Joe Mauer money, and I still wouldn't do it.
I agree.
I didn't even like being up in the thing, and I was enclosed.
It was enclosed, and it had been finished for 30 years.
Yeah,
you
yeah.
still didn't want to be
sways.
Up there. Oh, Lord, yeah, I know. Oh, yeah. Well, yeah, your Viking Stadium, that's a piece of work. I know people are excited to get in there and watch football inside again. Get out of that lousy September and October weather.
Yeah, I know you are. Yeah, wow.
They suffer in Green Bay and Buffalo and Cleveland and Chicago and on and on and on. The list goes. Those people suffer so badly, so we need to be indoors.
Going to have the best dome in North America.
Maybe
that much I'm sure of.
Maybe the best dome on the planet.
Yeah, you're probably right. Because, first of all, nobody's building domes anymore.
No.
Minnesota's the only one.
Detroit was the last one.
Right, and St. Louis. And St. Louis wants out of their dome.
Oh, yeah. St. Louis does not want to go back into that.
Their
thing.
Sketches are open air on the riverfront by your arch.
Really?
Yeah, I've seen it. It looks pretty cool.
Oh, that would be nice.
And then, Atlanta's getting a new one, but it's retractable.
We're very forward thinking.
We know
here.
More than everybody.
Yeah, we're smarter. In the words of your former governor, we're just smarter
exactly.
than everybody else.
But I you hit on a great point, though. September and October here, why would you want to be inside watching football? I like it even when it's cold. I realize I'm on an island there. Some people don't want cold weather football, but some people don't mind it either. But the first 2 months of your season, September and October, leaves changing, fall weather, crisp air, that's tough to top.
Oh, I agree. I can't agree enough. I guess I'm going to have to make my one venture to Lambeau every year to get my fix of outdoor NFL football because I will miss it. I enjoyed last year at TCF Bank Stadium. I will take in this season. I did not make it to the Carolina Frozen Bowl that you went to, but other than that, I was at every home game. That's the only one I missed.
Well, I'll tell you what, they were perfect in their cold weather games last year at home. That Carolina game, I think, was November 30th. One of the coldest in Viking history.
Well, you heard what Matt Khalil said, yes. What his brother told yes. him. His brother plays for Carolina. He said they couldn't wait to get out of the cold. Get me out of here.
I saw that when I watched the game in the stands, and I was in the stands. I made my kids sit through it. I think they still hold that against me. But
probably.
But I saw that, and you know, it really was kind of a flashback to the old Met Stadium Vikings who used to block kicks and win games that way. The Vikings had two punts blocked in that game, scoop and score touchdowns, one by Everson Griffin, the other by Adam Thielen. And once that happened, I looked at Cam Newton, and the body language he had that day was hands in the – you know, in the front of your jersey,
oh, yeah.
in the pocket, the pouch, and they're moping around the sidelines. They want it out of Minneapolis. They want it back to Charlotte where it's a lot warmer, and the weather became a huge ally for the Vikings. I'm not saying the Vikings loved it, but it was to their advantage. And then they beat the Jets in the cold. They beat the Chicago Bears in the cold.
Well, they live in it. You know, it's not like
exactly.
they don't necessarily need to practice it, but you live in it every day.
It's a major mistake to not play to your advantages. I'll always believe that. There's a lot of people that are trying to tell me, yeah, you're wrong. You'll love this new stadium. I'm not saying it's not going to be cool. It will be cool. It'll have all the bells and whistles. I have no doubt about that. But it's not the best scenario for the Vikings winning games,
yeah, they're
in
not,
my opinion.
Exactly. You're not going to gain the home field advantage that you could and that several teams do have. And you're not going to have that. I mean, just look at the Detroit Lions. They have been how long have they been inside now? They've been inside.
Oh, wow.
When was Pontiac
probably
built?
About 1970, 71. You know, they left Tiger Stadium.
Yeah, so Pontiac and then Ford Field now for the last – how old is Ford Field? About 8, 9 years old now? 10 years
At
old?
At least.
Maybe 10? Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, if you look at the NFC North, I think the Vikings and their fan base fancy themselves as being, you know, like the Packers, like the Bears. No, they're not.
No.
They are much more like the Detroit Lions. First
right.
of all, they haven't won a Super Bowl. Those other two franchises, Bears and Packers, have. Vikings and Lions haven't. Lions have never been. But indoor teams are indoor teams. Does that mean they won't win a Super Bowl inside? I can't say that because
the
once
Rams
this
did.
Year's over, That's the only chance they got. If they win a Super Bowl, it'll be as a dome team. Now, if they do it this year, that would be poetic justice.
It would be kind of funny, wouldn't it? And folks are kind of liking them, although I see we don't have any of the top 100 players in the league with the exception of AP.
Well, that's probably good.
we're a vanilla squad.
We are. Well, and that's what happens when you play in a dome.
Yeah. All right. I think we're just about out of time. I have to check the clock on the wall here, and we are just about out of time. Reminder, visit our website. It's minnesotascore.com, home to the Minnesota Score magazine. You can subscribe right online. Just $19.95 for 1 year of the Minnesota Score.
All right, well, FedEx out those thank yous. One goes to Rocky, also to David Shama, who helped line up Jeff Madej.
Yes.
So both of those guys get a thank you. Also, one to Al Moss and
Kyle Gibson
yes. of the Minnesota Twins. For Wally Langfellow, I'm Eric Nelson saying so long. We are Minnesota Score Radio, your purple in the elements ticket.